In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tug Entertainment or its partners.
Welcome to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com. And hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com and 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Officer Radio is your source for the latest news, trends, and issues facing the law enforcement community. Join us each week as Officer Borelli and his guest examine, dissect, and discuss the issues facing our industry. Call in live and join the conversation to get your voice heard. Now, let's get to it. It's Officer Radio, live with Frank Borelli on Officer.com.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the next episode of Officer.com Radio. Officer Radio brought to you by Officer.com. Yes, I'm being a little dramatic, a little bit goofy, a little bit silly. Spring break starts next week where I live, and I'm trying to get in the right frame of mind for all ages of kids not to be in school for the week, which involves a little bit of drama and a little bit of silly. I'm your host, editor for Officer.com, Frank Borelli. I'd like to offer special thanks today to our guests, who will include Mr. Craig Floyd, Chairman and CEO for the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, Mr. Jason Stoddard, owner and operator of the Warrior Training Group and their website, WTGTactical.com, and Ms. Tabitha Wethel, who's the editor for Law Enforcement Technology Magazine, the print counterpart of Officer.com. And she's my counterpart there, the editor for the magazine. I'd like to thank all of you all for being on the show today. Today we'll be talking about quite a few topics. I think we're going to start out taking a look at the new iPad apps, what Ms. Wethel is going to talk with me about and give me some information about. We have iPad apps now for Law Enforcement Technology Magazine and Law Enforcement Product News. And then we're going to follow up on that. I'm going to talk with her a little bit about the differences between legal versus illegal and comparing those to right versus wrong. This past month we've seen demonstrations and really a laser-focused attention on the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin incident. And it occurs to me that what the people want, what the demonstrators are looking for, is justice from the perspective of right versus wrong, not legal versus illegal. And our justice system, and I do truly believe our justice system is the finest justice system in existence, but it can only deal with legal versus illegal. The idea of having a justice system that governs morality puts it into the venue of a religiously run justice system, and we very carefully avoided that for the 240-plus years existence of our country. So I think we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're also going to talk about this JetBlue crazed pilot incident and what outlook maybe passengers should have on today's commercial flights. That's where we're going to talk to Mr. Jason Stoddard. He actually has an airline safety kit he designed that some of those folks on that flight might have found particularly helpful. And finally, our last guest for the show will be Mr. Craig Floyd from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. And we're going to get some updates from Mr. Floyd about the memorial, the museum, and police week, which is now about a month and a half away, about 6 weeks out. And one of the things that I'd like to talk about for a second during police week this year, the company that owns Officer.com, Law Enforcement Technology Magazine, Law Enforcement Product News, is called Cygnus Business Media. And it's a business-to-business business. Yeah, say that 10 times real fast. What that means is we provide information to industries that provide services. Law enforcement is a service. Fire fighting is a service. Emergency medical response is a service. The airline industry is a business, and we have an aviation magazine. Cygnus owns an aviation magazine, an aviation website. It's a service to the airline industry. So we provide services to businesses that provide services. And this year, Cygnus, the public safety group, that which governs Officer.com, Law Enforcement Technology, Law Enforcement Product News, also includes a piece, Law Enforcement Expos. And Officer World is going to launch this year during Police Week, May 13th and 14th, during Police Week in D.C. at the Ronald Reagan Building. We've partnered with the National Sheriff's Association, and the National Sheriff's Association is providing instruction They're going to give some training Sunday morning the 13th, Monday morning the 14th from 8 to 12. That training is at no cost to the attending officers. The only thing we're asking is you pre-register, and that's because the Reagan Building is a federal building, and to make sure that we don't have to try to secure everybody's weapon before they go in the building, we're required to have everybody pre-registered so we know who's coming in the building armed. And I encourage every one of my brother cops, and I'm not saying anything bad about D.C., every one of my brother cops that travels, you should stay armed. You shouldn't let your arm or your guard down. You should stay ready. So when you come to D.C. so that you're not inconvenienced having to lock up a firearm, pre-register, come to Officer World, enjoy the training that the National Sheriff's Association is going to provide free of charge. Now, that training is going to focus on officer survival. It's going to focus on the things we've seen be a problem last year, responding to ambushes. How do you respond to them? How do you avoid them? How do you mitigate the risk in them? How do you respond to calls with less and less manpower? You know, 5 years ago, I think we had 900,000 police officers now in the country. Now I think we're lucky if we've got 750,000. Everybody's having to do more with less, and how you manage your manpower to keep the risk to your officers minimized as they respond to essentially high-risk calls with less manpower. That's going to be one of the training paradigms as well. And then the other thing we need to deal with, and it's becoming more and more of a topic across law enforcement in general, is how do we treat ourselves? You know, on the battlefield, and we're two wars still going on, we see – or we're still performing combat functions in two countries or whatever the politically correct way is of saying it. You see a lot of deaths due to extremity wounds, loss of blood, sucking chest wounds or blocked airways, things that can be treated with the proper training, the proper equipment. The training is not difficult. The equipment's not expensive. So the other training that's going to be available during Officer World from the National Sheriff's Association is self-aid, buddy aid. How to treat those things, stop that blood, get an airway in, deal with tension pneumothorax, something that's been a topic here in the last couple of weeks on this show and in our articles. We deal with these things. How do we keep ourselves alive? How do we keep our buddies alive? How do we keep shooting victims alive? That's going to be the other piece of training that gets offered during Officer World. I encourage you to go to officerworld.com and pre-register. Make sure your name's there. Come in and get this good training. It gives you something to do on the morning of the 13th because the candlelight vigil is the evening of the 13th, and I know we're all going to be there. The 14th is pretty much an open day of some events going on, but then the morning of the 15th on the West Lawn of the Capitol Building, you have the actual law enforcement memorial service that's hosted by the FOP and attended by a great many people as well. We might have some more news for you on that in the next week or two as well, some ways you can see it even if you can't be there. We'll talk about that when the time is appropriate. But so you have the 14th as an open day. Come get that 4 hours of training that morning. Do yourself some good. Do your patrol partner some good. Again, this is training that's free of charge. All you have to do is pre-register. So go to officerworld.com and pre-register. All right. So all of that out of the way, if you decide you want to call in today, the number is 866-404-6519. Throughout the show, we'll be glad to take your calls. The number is 866-404-6519. If you have a comment, question, observation, or other thought to share, please don't hesitate to dial us up. Today's show, like all of them, will be archived on the Officer.com radio page as well as our podcast page. If you're listening to this radio show live, folks, I don't have to tell you how to find it. Look at the top of the page in the navigation bar. You see podcast right next to radio. Our shows are also archived on iTunes. Now, iTunes lists it by date, not by topic, so come to our podcast page, find the topic material you'll want, look at the date that it was aired on, then go to iTunes and download the appropriate dated material. As you hopefully well know, Officer.com has both a Facebook fan page and a Twitter feed. Any updates we plan for this radio show, scheduled guests, etc., will be posted and tweeted accordingly. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Not only do we appreciate the interaction, but it allows us to serve your information needs better. And I'll do you one more. I'm an avid Facebook user. I'm learning to use Twitter better. If you use them both appropriately, the social media aspects of it allow you to expand your reach. Now, does that benefit us? Absolutely. It allows us to expand our reach. If we put something on the officer.com page on Facebook and you like it, your friends see that you like it, our reach goes to your friends, and that's better for us. Here's the kicker. If your friends and family, if you're a law enforcement and your friends and family support you, then maybe they need to be a fan of the officer.com Facebook page as well. On our Twitter feed, we post all of the titles and links for all the articles, news and editorial that we put out, new videos, new podcasts, so on and so forth, go out on Twitter. And if you follow us on Twitter, then you can either repost for us, retweet, or you can help us find mistakes when we make them. And we're not perfect. We're far from it. So help us find those mistakes. You know, hit that reply button and say, hey, you messed this up, and we'll appreciate it. So follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And, oh, yeah, if you're on LinkedIn, and I know social media seems to absorb our world anymore, if you're on LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com, there is an officer.com community group. Come and join the group. We have discussions going on there as well. And as a member of the group, you can put out messages to everybody else. If you have an article that you want to call attention to, please be polite enough not to make it on one of our competitor websites. But something you've written, something you want to share, some piece of news you find, some tidbit you think would benefit the group, then you can post it there. All right, so we're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we're going to have Miss Tabitha Wethel with us. And Tabitha and I are going to talk about Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, iPad apps, and more. You know, none of us is going to agree on everything. Tabitha and I have different outlooks about different things. We're from different generations. I'm old enough to be her dad. She's a very intelligent, highly talented young lady, and I'm interested to see how our opinions differ. My personality is a little bit stronger than hers, so hopefully I won't figuratively beat her down too bad in the conversation. So that's where we're going to be when we come back from this break. Please stay tuned. We really appreciate you being here, and we hope you find the value in what we do here at Officer.com and on Officer Radio. We always appreciate the feedback, so don't hesitate to send it in. We'll be right back.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. In May of 2011, a small brown-eyed boy proudly showed off the law enforcement buttons he had pinned to his shirt in honor of his dad, an officer killed in the line of duty 6 years ago. Then the reality set in. This boy was just a few days away from his sixth birthday. He never got the chance to meet his dad, nor did thousands of children whose parents' names are forever etched into the living memorial in Judiciary Square. Join us in 2012 as we launch Officer World Expo in Washington, D.C. in our effort to reduce the intolerably large number of officers who didn't get to go home to their families. OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
That's the word uttered when you know you have the upper hand or you're the winner. Well, now we have the Booyah Radio Hour with Martin Bressy, Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com. Martin's show is all about helping speakers and authors find their niche, create their brand, and achieve massive success. Each week, Martin will interview guests from around the world who have achieved tremendous success as speakers and authors. You'll find out who they are, what they do, and how you can follow in their footsteps to achieve incredible results. Guests will come from around the world of business, entertainment, finance, the arts, and sciences. Nothing is off topic. No subject too taboo. We'll share valuable information as well as huge laughs as we discover the ups and downs of being a successful speaker and author. The Booyah Radio Hour with Martin Pressy. Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com, and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back again. I'm Frank Borelli, your host for today's show, Officer Radio on Officer.com. That's what happens. See, I'm still doing it. When I try to think and talk at the same time, it doesn't work so well. I stop trying to type at the same time because it really gets miserable. We have on the phone, waiting to talk with me, Ms. Tabitha Wethel, the editor for Law Enforcement Technology Magazine. We're going to talk about the iPad apps for LET and LEPN, as well as the George Zimmerman versus Trayvon Martin case. But before we go there, I want to point something out, because I know Tabitha and I won't agree on everything 100%. Nobody does. And I'll give you the example of my father and I. My father was a criminal lawyer, criminal defense attorney, who became a personal injury attorney, who eventually became a district court judge. I became a policeman as I got out of high school, went in the Army as an MP, got out and became a cop. Now, here's a man who taught me my judgment. He taught me my morals. He gave me my values and tried to instill into me that which he found to be important. And he and I disagreed every night at the dinner table over what cops should do or shouldn't do and how people should be handled. If he and I can't agree on everything, nobody else is going to, and it's ludicrous to think that we will. So keep that in mind moving forward, not just for today's show, but forever. It's just something we all need to remember. Now that I'll step down off my soapbox and welcome Ms. Tabitha Wethel to the show. How are you doing today, Tabitha?
I'm good. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm good. Have you been adequately warned? I mean, you know me pretty well. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I didn't send you any talking points, so I'm sorry to blindside you, but I'll make it easy to start. Right on the homepage of officer.com, right there at the top of our carousel, we've got connectivity now, the connections for the LET and LEPN iPad apps. Tell me a little bit about each one and what makes them so much better than the print publications.
Well, I wouldn't argue that they're better. I would just say that they're different. They're used differently. They're based on both of the print publications, Law Enforcement Technology Magazine and Law Enforcement Product News. So there's two of them.
Right.
They each have their own. And it's the content that, you know, people have been receiving in the magazines for, you know, more than three decades, but it's bringing it into the 21st century by optimizing it for the iPad. So, you know, we're able to utilize rich media like audio from interviews, video that we've collected or that, you know, has been shared with us on certain products, and then, you know, more photos than we can ever use, because the restriction with print is that we've always got a certain amount of space.
Right.
So we've you know, there's got to be that editing, picking and choosing, but now we can share the things that, you know, maybe I had five awesome photos of some product. Now I can show them all to you.
Well, and the folks that get a particular issue, I happen to have the most recent issue of LETN here that I got in the mail, the March issue, Hone on the Range, and that also happens to be the iPad app issue that's shown up on the homepage. If I like something that's in the magazine and I have access to an iPad, then I can go enjoy a more interactive experience, if you will. The extra pictures, like you said, but there's video too, and connectivity to the internet allows me to click through the articles to go get more information if I want, right?
Yeah, precisely, yeah.
Okay. Well, forgive me. I mean, I don't own an iPad, and I'm still trying to figure out how to use my smartphone without throwing it at the wall every other day. So,
well,
and I'm sure some of our users... I'm sorry?
You're one step ahead of me there, Frank.
You do throw yours at the wall every day, or every other day?
No, I don't. I haven't joined the smartphone team yet.
Well, my eyes got too bad to read a BlackBerry, so I had to get one where I could make the screen bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's cool, though. So the iPad apps are out, and we need to make sure everybody knows them. When they come out each month, we're going to put them up there in that carousel on officer.com so you can find information about them easily. How do they find them? If I own an iPad and I need to find LET, LEPN, how do I do it?
Through your iPad, you can go into the App Store, the Apple App Store.
Okay.
All your iPad is preloaded with that. So search Law Enforcement Technology for LET or, you know, Law Enforcement Product News, just the titles, and it should be one of the first one that pops up.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
It's free, totally free. So you just go in, click on the app icon, and then there's the gray bar that says download.
Okay, and is that, do I have to do that every month when the new issue comes out?
Nope. You do it one time, you subscribe, and then every month when the new issue comes out, there'll be a little red number that comes up on that app to let you know. So
okay.
It'll be automatic.
Now I'll ask a question you may or may not know the answer to. If I don't have an iPad, I mean, I know like with Kindle and other e-readers, they have PC versions and blah, blah, blah. If I don't have an iPad, is there any way for me to get to this app aside from that?
Unfortunately, no.
Wow. Apple needs to do that.
Yeah. It's because of the way that the iPad, and I don't want to bore everybody, but because of the way the iPad operating system is, it is designed exclusively for the iPad, but down the road, I've asked our app guy through our company, through Cygnus, mm-hmm. if we're going to move toward some of the other tablet system space, and he said that yes, but there's no date. So we're hoping to get there, but right now it is only for the iPad.
Okay. Well, we have killed, believe it or not, half of our first segment now talking about iPad apps for the LET and LEPN. I want to switch gears and talk about George Zimmerman versus Trayvon Martin. I know when we exchanged emails earlier, you said you've got some editorial that you're kind of formulating around this. I have in the past written about the difference between legal and right and illegal and wrong, because we can't legislate right and wrong. We can only legislate legal and illegal. I don't know if you heard the opening, my opening remarks. I think that what we're seeing people protest for and crave is a moral right, not necessarily a legal right. I mean, the guy's been arrested. They just released the video. So all the calls for George Zimmerman to be arrested, hey, you're a month late. He got arrested the day it happened. We got the video of him in handcuffs being processed at the station. Where do you fall in all of this stuff?
Well, I did hear your opening, and I smiled a little bit on my end here because, you prefaced a little bit with, we might not agree. We sometimes have differing opinions on that, but I think we're both on the same page here, where we are looking at the difference between the right and wrong, and the legal versus illegal, and I think we're agreeing there. I think we're on the same page that some of the politicization, if you will, which is, I really want no part in that of it, it is resting more on the right versus wrong end of things, which is just somewhere that I that's an opinion that I'm not, fit to proffer.
Well, but you are. It's your opinion, and I guess that's one of the biggest differences between you and I is that you mm-hmm. really, and I appreciate this actually, and I know it kind of bugs people that I'm not more like you in this. There's not as much filter between my brain and my mouth, and we both know that. The fact that politicians are leveraging this to get in the spotlight, to garner votes, to call attention, whatever, just drives me nuts. And to have people who aren't even politicians, they just make money off of having their name in the news – just eats me up even more. It's a shame this young man died. I'll be the first person to say any loss of life is a shame as far as I'm concerned. The fact that George Zimmerman felt like he was victimized, had to defend himself, I'm all in favor of self-defense. It eats me up. I feel like the mainstream media grabbed a hold of something and went, ooh, if we report this the right way, we can just milk this story for months, and they have for months successfully.
Yeah, that's one where, I would tread a little bit more lightly as far as, just saying broad brush mainstream media, because while we're part of the media, you and I both, where, it's not considered mainstream, but we're both in the space, and I don't like to take other people working in our industry and say that they had some sort of malicious intent on reporting. Part of the fact is, and you and I both know this, we're talking about it right now because it's timely and it relates to what we do, is that, you do need to keep up to date. And so I don't think they're wrong in reporting on it.
They reported the kid originally as 12 years old and showed a picture of him when he was 13 or 14. He's 17 years old.
Yes.
The pictures are way out of date. I mean, I'm not trying to demonize Trayvon Martin, and I'm not trying to defend George Zimmerman, but I do think – and this is another difference, because as much as you consider yourself part of the media and a journalist first, I'm still a cop at heart first, and I consider myself part of the media second, and I probably should get over that this many years later. But I look at how it was originally reported and how it's evolved, and I really – it eats me up that the reporting was so slanted when it first started. I just view it as another step towards being – towards creating a divisiveness that's not necessary.
Yeah, I do agree that the original reporting was poor, and that's where I do have a problem, because that's fact-checking. And I think that's a problem with the Internet age, because as soon as things started to blow up here, the facts that were reported wrong were repeated in multiple areas, not just in, you know, on a media site, but also, you know, through blogging, social media. I've seen through my Facebook multiple links to strange politically driven articles that are also quoting the wrong facts. So I don't agree with that. The photos, that's another issue too. If you want to be accurate, you do want to get the most recent photo you can get, but then you're online, you're copying something from somebody's Facebook, and you're rolling with it. I can't say I agree with that either.
It can definitely be frustrating. It can definitely be frustrating. So my next guest, and because I want to get your opinion on this real quick, and we've already hit our 2-minute warning, so I'll ask you quick. My next guest is going to talk to me about this JetBlue pilot. You have any thoughts on the wonders of a pilot losing his mind on a plane?
Well, I don't feel good about it as someone who travels frequently.
Really glad you weren't on that plane.
Yep, pretty glad. I thought it was pretty lucky, and I don't have 100% of the research for that story, but I thought it was pretty lucky that I heard they had a former LAPD or NYPD officer, a former correctional officer on the plane who helped in intervening. Is that right? Do you know?
There were a number of, we'll call them security-oriented folks, that helped get him under control. So
we're
down under our 30-second mark. Tabitha, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. I don't know that you can appreciate how much of a help it is and how much our listeners like the fact that they don't just listen to me babble for an hour. So,
well, I like to listen in myself, and I'm glad to be on today. I was glad to take part.
Thank you for being here, Ms. Tabitha Wethel, editor for our Law Enforcement Technology magazine. We'll be back with Mr. Jason Stoddard to talk about airline safety. Stay with us.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these. Yes, there is an app for that. Yes, there's an app for that too. And yes, there's an app for that. You hear it all the time. But what does that mean to you? Join us for Yes, There Is an App for That, the radio show with your hosts Chandler and Sherry George, Thursdays at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. This is one radio show you can't afford to miss. Yes, There's an App for That is the show that will open your eyes as a business owner and entrepreneur. You'll learn what's hot and what's not in apps, internet marketing, and mobile marketing. And as a consumer, you'll learn what's new in the mobile app world each week and how it can affect your life on a day-to-day basis. You'll learn the good and bad about certain mobile apps. Plus, we'll keep you informed on what to watch out for your kids on mobile apps. For more information, check out the website, catchfireinternetmarketing.com. Then join us for Yes, There's an App for That with your hosts Chandler and Sherry George, Thursday afternoons at 2 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. Join thousands of other law enforcement professionals attending Police Week, May 12th through the 17th, 2012, in Washington, D.C. The new Officer World Expo at Police Week will offer training, conference sessions, and networking opportunities to better equip those who protect others. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good day again and welcome back. This is Officer Radio on Officer.com. I'm your host, Frank Borelli. If you decide you want to call in, we were just talking about George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin, and we're getting ready to talk about this JetBlue incident. If you have a comment you want to call in, the number's 866-404-6519. That's 866-404-6519. Now we're going to continue on with the show. We have Mr. Jason Stoddard with us, owner-operator, president of WTGTactical.com. That's Warrior Training Group. They also do training for Warriors. And, folks, that's what it's all about. You know, we're going to talk about this JetBlue incident. Four people on that plane were Warriors. Nobody knows what to do with a pilot that loses his mind. I mean, passengers that lose their mind. People get on a plane, do stupid stuff. We all think about that. Who really thinks about the pilot losing his mind? That's what happened. Four Warriors took decisive action, and that's what we're going to talk about with Mr. Jason Stoddard. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Frank.
If you've got to go, tell me you got to go and let me know. I know you're working. I appreciate you taking time. We've got an article up, and that's pretty much what I'm basing my information on that came to us from the Associated Press, where this pilot, Mr. Clayton Osmond, who works for JetBlue and has apparently for some time, started acting in a very irrational fashion and had to be tackled and restrained by four passengers on this plane. And they used, according to the article, seatbelt extenders and zip tie handcuffs to restrain and pin him down. Now, on an airline, anybody who presents a threat presents a threat. We have to do what we have to do. What are your thoughts on this whole situation because of the uniqueness of it being the pilot?
Well, first off, the passengers that were on that plane that dealt with it did a terrific job. When you have something like that, you're dealing with a conveyance that's traveling at 35,000 feet. Nothing's good is going to come if it hits the ground quickly. So you've got to do what you have to do. In this particular case, this was actually the second one that occurred that day. There was another one that occurred out of Charlotte, I believe, going to Florida with a drunk female on a plane that smacked at least one flight attendant and had to be restrained by passengers as well that day. So it's becoming more and more of a commonplace. And those of us who are like-minded individuals, we have to think about that when we fly. We know TSA, if they're doing their job correctly, we're not getting on a plane with a gun. We're not getting on a plane with a knife. So we have to have something that's going to allow us to protect ourselves as safely as we possibly can in the event one of these things happen. And it's not always about deadly force, like in this case. It was about having to restrain an individual with what's on the plane. The fact is most planes have some type of flexi-cuffs on them. They're probably not stored correctly. They're probably not the best thing that they could come up with to secure somebody like that. And so there's nothing that says we can't have our own.
You're right. Now I'm going to interrupt you for a second because I'm going to disagree with you about something. I submit to you, and I understand in this case we're talking about the pilot of the plane and we don't want to hurt him, and I'm not endorsing the wholesale killing of anybody who acts up on a plane. However, if you're on a plane, like you said, that conveyance traveling 35,000 feet up, you know, it's not the fall that hurts. It's that sudden stop at the bottom. And if there's somebody on a plane who's creating enough of a disturbance that they threaten the safe operation of that plane, rather than risk 200-plus lives on that plane, I'd more than happily see this person taking down with speed and aggressiveness of action. I know you'll agree with me on that. I just don't want – I don't want people listening to us to think we're saying, you know – be gentle, take them down, restrain them. We're trying not to hurt. I don't care if you break their leg in both clavicles. Get them under control fast is my outlook.
Absolutely. In this case, they didn't need the use of any type of lethal force. Thank
Correct.
God. If it's called for, then absolutely. There isn't – the Air Marshal program has been greatly reduced since 9/11, so there isn't Air Marshals on every plane. In a situation such as this, I would think that if there was an Air Marshal on that plane that they would have made themselves known and probably taken action. However, we all know that they're just not on every plane anymore. So we have to do what we have to do. Those of us that are sitting in that are Warriors that are sitting in the passenger compartment of the plane we can't sit there and not act. We have to act. We weren't born to be sheep, and we've got to act. We've got to do something and hope somebody will come and help us if it's something that we can't handle by ourselves.
And you know, you're absolutely right. If you have the warrior mentality, and I want to be very specific here, this is the officer.com radio show. We serve the law enforcement industry, but being a warrior doesn't mean being somebody who wears a uniform. Any citizen out here who refuses to be a victim, who refuses to be sheep, can be the sheepdog, can be the warrior. And I want to be abundantly clear about that. if you're a good guy, I'm glad to have your help. I don't care whether you've got a badge or not, as long as you're on my side. That said, I often, when I go on a plane, I take a flashlight with me. I take what's been come to be termed a tactical pen with me. It's a aircraft aluminum grade pen that can be used as a pressure point tool or as a puncturing tool and various other assortment things. I make sure I have some kind of restraint system with me. You guys at Warrior Training Group, WTG Tactical, you've actually developed a kit for this, an airline safety kit, right?
Yes.
And it has these things. It has a flashlight, a pen, and you use the ASP flexi-cuffs?
Yeah, for now we did use the ASP flexi-cuffs. There's also another company, I think it's called Tough Tie, that are a little bit smaller. The end result is from all the research that we did and speaking with several air marshals and several people at TSA, nothing that we put in our kit is forbidden by them. The ink pen is just that. It's a pen. It can be used in other ways, but it's a pen. The flashlight, as you wrote in your recent article that you published, is it can be used as a striking implement. It can be used to momentarily stun somebody. We tried to put something together. I fly quite a bit. I feel absolutely naked when I walk onto a plane and I don't have my gun. I don't have a knife. I don't have things that go with me everywhere. So we wanted something to make you feel a little bit less naked and be able to, if something particularly like this happened, that you could take action if you choose to take action. And you could help, you could restrain somebody, and if needed and if the situation warranted it, you could also use deadly force in that situation.
All right, now let's be clear about something. I think that's outstanding. The airline safety kit, for the folks listening, WTG, it's William Time George, tactical.com. Their airline safety kit's on there. Without the pouch to carry it, it's like $80-something dollars, and with the pouch, it's just over $100. A whole lot of mental comfort, if you will, in a handy package. But let's talk about this for a second. You or I is on a – well, let's not use you or I. Neither one of us has a problem putting our hands on people. You're a passenger on a plane, and something appears out of sorts. Most of the time, you need to wait until either you're sure there's no law enforcement, no federal air marshal, no other law enforcement, or the flight attendants are asking for assistance. We're not encouraging citizens to just out of the blue jump up and take action anytime there's the least little minor suspicion.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. There are standards. There are things that the airlines have put into place that they try and keep as super secret as they possibly can. In this particular instance, in the JetBlue incident, the flight attendants actually got on the PA and told the passengers they may need help. And that's highly unusual, at least it's highly unusual that things like that get reported. In this particular instance, they did. If you have a 9/11 incident that's occurring in front of you, much like what happened during 9/11 with the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, you're looking at something that's not going to end well. It's up to you to try and take control back of those planes. But we're talking about two completely different incidents here.
Absolutely correct. However, we can never assume that we're talking about one and not the other kind. If somebody's doing something stupid on a plane that represents a threat to a plane, whether we perceive them as a terrorist or we perceive them as having had a mental breakdown, what we have to focus on is controlling and mitigating the threat to the safe operation of the plane.
Absolutely.
The tools that are required to do so are first and foremost the will and the courage to step up and do it. And then whatever you need to stun or disable the person, and then what you need to restrain them until the plane can get on the ground and the air marshals can come and get them off the plane.
Did
I cover everything? Okay.
Absolutely. And as you said, the biggest thing is going to be the wherewithal and to have the mindset and to have the drive to get involved in a situation like that. That's the biggest choice that you're going to have to make. Once you make the choice to get involved, it all flows. It is it's deciding whether you need to make that choice or not.
Well, I think we all make that choice. You know, everybody learns about fight or flight and basic psychology in high school. What people don't realize, and some of us, and Jason, I include you in this statement, some of us don't realize is that when we don't make a choice, when we don't make a conscious decision to act, then quite frequently we're making the conscious decision to be at the mercy of whatever idiot is doing whatever stupidity they are doing. You know what I'm saying? By not choosing to take an action, we involuntarily become a victim or a potential victim.
Absolutely.
And we can't afford that mindset. In today's world on a plane, if somebody presents a threat, we have to assume the worst and take the appropriate action. Now, again, I'm not saying stand up and start killing people. However, we still have our use of force options, and we want to use the least force necessary to contain the situation. Civilians don't have all the training you and I have had. They don't have all the skill sets necessarily that you and I have had. Some of them probably have a whole lot more. But when the threat exists on the plane, we have to step up. We have to be one big team. And I saw a lady on television. It was a beautiful thing to hear her say. She said, you know, everybody that flies today is one big community. Just got my two-minute warning, so be advised. Everybody's one big community. And when something bad happens on a plane, we all come together and deal with it. I thought that was a phenomenal thing for an average civilian flight passenger to say.
Absolutely. And when you look at airline travel now, you're talking about an airline. You can't just pull it over like a car. So that changes the whole dynamics of the situation. If something is happening on a plane that's going to need some intervention, if you have the same mindset that you and I do, whether you are a police officer or you're in the military or you're a civilian, it is up to you. Well, there's not always going to be a cop on a plane. There's not always going to be somebody who does this for a living on a plane. And it may be up to a citizen to step up and to, like what happened in this particular incident, and they took the individual down and subdued him and restrained him to the best that they possibly could until the plane could land. You're putting a whole different dynamic in there when you start talking about a plane.
Yeah, and that's my point, I guess, and I wrote this in an article as well. It's not like the Greyhound bus full of people where if there's a problem, you can pull over and people can get out of the bus. This is a plane. We're all stuck until it's on the ground, so you got to take what action is necessary to allow the crew to get it safely to the ground, and then you deal with whatever else. Jason, thank you for being with us today. I'm not going to take any more of your time. We're down to about 30 seconds till our next break. I'm sure we'll have you back again soon, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it.
All right, Jason, stay safe out there, brother.
Thanks, sir.
All right, for my listeners, when we come back from our next break, we're going to have Mr. Craig Floyd from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. We're going to talk about the memorial. We're going to talk about the museum and the updates with that. We're going to talk about anything he wants to about Police Week. I'm not going to push Officer World anymore. Stay with us, and thank you for being listeners with us on Officer.com Radio.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. 152. The number of law enforcement fatalities in 2010. The numbers are too high. Any line of duty death is unacceptable. Join us in Washington, D.C. next year during National Police Week at the first ever Officer World Expo as we combine a unique training opportunity with the largest police memorial in the United States. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com for details and to join the mailing list. Officer World Expo, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Designing your family through adoption is a wonderful experience. What can be more exciting than opening your heart to a child? Get ready for Family by Design with your host, Carla Marie Williams. Tuesday mornings at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet. As an adoptive mother of three and president of Family by Design and an accomplished writer, Carla Marie knows firsthand what it takes to successfully design your family through adoption. She'll tackle the tough topics, discuss current events, and equip you with tips and strategies to navigate you along your adoptive journey. You'll hear firsthand accounts from authors, experts, and experienced parents. For more on the show and Carla Marie, check out the website, familybydesignadoption.com. Then tune in every week and hold on to your seats. This awesome adventure will change your life and the life of your child forever. It's Family by Design with your host, Carla Marie Williams. Tuesday mornings at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to this final segment of Officer Radio on Officer.com. For this final segment, I am delighted to welcome to the show Mr. Craig Floyd, the Chairman and CEO for the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. And prior to starting this segment, I happened to log in to the memorial's homepage, NLEOMF.org, on the World Wide Web, and I saw some information that says preliminary fatalities for 2012 are currently down 49%. And that is just phenomenal news. I want to welcome Mr. Floyd to the show on that note. How are you today, sir?
Doing great. Good to be with you again, Frank.
49% down. If we can maintain that through the year, it'll be utterly fantastic.
Well, it's great news, and hopefully not news that'll force people to become a bit more complacent in their actions. I think that's one of the problems we face in law enforcement is taking certain situations for granted when an officer responds to a call or performs what might be called a routine assignment, a traffic stop, for example, that they've done hundreds or thousands of times before, and all of a sudden you let your guard down for one moment and you're injured or killed in the line of duty. And this is one of the things we've seen. It's a bit of a phenomena that is fairly recurring. And that is that we have a couple years where deaths spike pretty significantly, and then we see a pretty significant drop follow. And I like to believe that part of the reason is the added attention that we're focusing on the issue of law enforcement safety when deaths do go up. The media focuses on it. There's better and more training. Safety equipment becomes more prevalent. Certainly officers are going to be putting on their vests probably more so than they would normally. They're going to make sure that seatbelt's buckled, etc. And all of that is going to help make them safer. They're going to look at every assignment as potentially life-threatening. And so this year, after 2 years of significant increases in fatalities, we're seeing a very significant drop in the number of officers killed in the line of duty.
You know, sir, I'm going to agree with everything you just said, but I'm going to keep praying that they continue to go down and we don't see that sweep back up. I marked 30 years in law enforcement this year, and you know how I feel about this. One death is too many. I'm glad to see the numbers going down, and I appreciate everything you all do at the memorial to honor the fallen and those who perform well. I want to mention for the moment we also have Officer of the Month, Trooper Zachary Huckstep from the Alaska Department of Public Safety, was recognized by the memorial, and I think it's phenomenal that you guys do that.
Well, that's certainly one of our most important programs. You know, we shouldn't just honor the fallen. We should also honor those who continue to put their lives at risk each and every day. And in 1996, actually, I was doing a radio show at the time. It was called America Under Siege, a radio talk show about criminal justice and law enforcement. And at the end of every show, we would do a story about an officer who had been killed in the line of duty, a very special tribute to that particular officer. And one day after the show was over, my producer came in and she said, "You know, Craig, I love that tribute that you do to the fallen heroes, but what about the officers who still serve? Shouldn't we maybe do a tribute to them too?" And all of a sudden, it dawned on us. Yeah, a light bulb went off, and we created what we call our Officer of the Month program, which started in September of 1996. Every month since then, we've honored an officer or a group of officers from a particular department for exemplary law enforcement service. And our Alaska officer is this month's recipient of the award. And in May every year, we during National Police Week, we invite those honorees from the prior year to join us for a special luncheon where they receive their awards. And it's a wonderful chance to show the world, really, what law enforcement does for us on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I don't think too many people really appreciate the two different kinds of sacrifices. I mean, there's the sacrifice of the fallen, the ultimate sacrifice, but there's a sacrifice that the cops make every day when they put on their uniform and their gun belt and they go out and do the job, ready to make that ultimate sacrifice. And I'm really glad to see you all doing that. I think it's a good thing. So give us an update on the memorial. We're 6 weeks out from Police Week. I know the name engraving, has it been completed?
No, actually, Frank, we do the engraving of the new names that are added each year during late April. It takes about 10 days. It's a very tedious process. You actually put a stencil each panel. We have 128 panels on the memorial walls. And so on each panel, you put up a stencil, a line of names, a new names that will be added to that particular panel. And then through sandblasting equipment, they actually etch the names into the stone. It takes 48 hours for each line of names to be added. In addition to the sandblasting, you have to paint the names and then allow that to cure overnight, then put a second coat on, and again, another 24-hour waiting period. So it's a very tedious process, a very painstaking process. The people that do this, two gentlemen, Kirk Bachman and Jim Lee, and they come out from Denver, Colorado, and Engrave Right is the name of their company, and they've done every single name on the memorial, and every year we add these new names before National Police Week. This year, we've completed our review process, so I can actually give you the numbers. We now officially have recognized 163 officers who died in the line of duty in 2011. Their new names will go on the memorial. And then we've actually discovered 199 older deaths, officers who died prior to 2011, who had been forgotten about by history, slipped through the cracks. And through our researchers, we have a staff of three full-time researchers here, as well as a lot of volunteers that assist us in accumulating this information, finding these older deaths. And then once their cases are reviewed and approved by our names committee, they too are added to the memorial. And this year we'll be adding 199 older deaths, 163 deaths from 2011.
Wow, that's actually really impressive. Now, I might be jumping the gun, and if I am, forgive me. I'm not trying to speak out of turn. I've been to the memorial. I know how hard sometimes it can be to locate a name on a panel, even with the reference material that's at both ends. I understand you all might be having an easier way delivered for this year.
Well, actually, the directory system will be the same during this year, Police Week. What we are contemplating, and I'm not sure that it's going to be in place this year, but we're certainly moving toward doing it, and that is an electronic directory system where basically with today's technology, there's so many better ways to help people find a name at a national memorial like ours. So when those directories are in place, you'll be able to type in that particular officer's name, and then hit a button, and basically you'll get all that information about where that officer's name appears on the memorial, a photograph of the officer if we have one in our records, and we have photographs for a little more than half of the officers on the memorial, I'd say. And then you'll get some information about the officer's death and what department they serve, rank, etc. So, the electronic directory system, I think, will make it a little easier and certainly provide a lot more information about these fallen heroes. But for now, we continue to use our paper directories, our books that we have in four different sites there at the memorial in front of each pathway entrance. And you simply look up the name of the officer if you know it. In the front half of the book, they're alphabetically listed. And in the second half of the directory, if you don't know the name but you know the state or department you're looking for, it lists officers that way. So it tells you what panel they're on and then what line on that panel. So it's a pretty easy system once you get familiar with it, and I think people will be able to find names pretty easily.
Oh, it is. It is a very easy system to use, and unfortunately, I've had to look up my share of names in those directories. I look at the next generation, though. You know, my kids are in their early 20s, married. I just became a grandfather, and the way they use technology is so much different, and sometimes it seems more efficient than the way you and I grew up using paper. So.
No question, and we want to take advantage of those technology upgrades that are available to us now, and You know, I think it's interesting, Frank, you go into our visitor center and we have a, we call it an interactive video. Basically, you can punch in the name of an officer and get the kind of information I just described, a picture of the officer, where they served, and so forth. And it actually, and when we first came up with that system, which was back in the early 1990s, we thought we'd be cute and have the sound of a typewriter as you hit each letter on the keyboard. And today, the typewriter sound still there, and I'm sure these young people are saying, what sound is that? I've never heard it before. But to those of us that are a little older, we recognize way back when we used typewriters instead of our computers.
Well, I tell you what, Craig, I just got my 3-minute warning from the producer. Can you give me an update on what's going on with the museum? I know y'all are making progress.
We are, and we're going to have some exciting announcements during National Police Week this year. We've gotten some great new donors on board with us, and we certainly want to recognize them appropriately. We'll do that during National Police Week. But the bottom line is the museum. We finished our first phase of construction, getting all the infrastructure underground taken care of. We did that from January through November of last year, so that's now in place. We're now working on the construction documents. This is the final phase of our architectural design work and our exhibit design work that has to be done before we can begin the core and shell work, the major excavation and the building of the museum, which we expect to start late this year, and it'll take about 2 years to finish the job. So we're hopeful that by certainly 2014, we'll have this museum open to the public. We're still working on that schedule. We've got a lot of new donors helping us out. We just hired a new museum executive director, our first ever museum executive director for the National Law Enforcement Museum. His name is Joe Urschel. Yeah, he's a wonderful gentleman, a perfect fit for us. He had actually been the executive director at the Newseum, which is a interactive museum for journalism and the news industry, which opened up here in D.C. About 5-6 years ago. And then before that, it was out in Roslyn, Virginia, Arlington, Virginia.
I'm familiar with him. I'm glad you guys got him on board.
He's going to make all the difference in the world. He'll get us to opening. He'll make sure we do it right. He's taken a good hard look at all the vision that we put in place before he got on board, already tweaked it a bit and given us some great input. I think he's just going to make all the difference in the world. And this assures that we'll have a world-class museum that everybody will want to see when they come to Washington, D.C.
Hey, Craig, I think that's the note we have to close on, sir. The producer gave me my 30-second warning. Thank you very much for being with us today. We look forward to more updates and conversation with you next week.
Excellent. Thank you.
For our listeners, thank you for being with us today. We hope you enjoyed today's Officer Radio on Officer.com. It will be podcast archived and available on iTunes, so listen to it at your leisure. In the meantime, stay safe on the streets. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for being a part of Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Each week, Officer Radio